Tonight I would like to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a verse of scripture I want to take, I say out of context it is, but I believe that it leaves a principle there that I will not be distorting at all the Word of God, but it's laying a fundamental principle. You know, it's wonderful to believe in the resurrection. The older I'm getting, the more I appreciate the resurrection. When I see wrinkles, when I see white hair, when I see and feel I'm getting older and time is wasting away. You know, when I started here, I was young and I was thin, and I was when I began to worship and serve the Lord here together. And most of you were young, and many of the children were young, and many were not here. And so now we see time has gone by. And it is wonderful to believe and know that we've been saved and redeemed. And, of course, we understand that God, before Adam ever sinned, and we know these principles, but I want to touch on them just momentarily. Before Adam ever sinned, God had chose a people. And, brethren, it's wonderful to know it's not primitive Baptists or just one group of people. There's people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. I have a great big family. It's wonderful to have brothers and sisters in all nationality. And I tell you what, it goes beyond America. It goes beyond people that speak English. It goes beyond Mexico. It goes beyond this continent. It goes beyond anywhere there's a people. I believe God has a people among them. And the important part is that as God's Spirit leads, that we would send forth the gospel, to send forth light, not to cause people to be born again, but to enlighten those whom God has given light to call them to wake thou that sleepest, arise, as the Word of God would declare. Just because you've been born again, many times people are like sleeping individuals. They're asleep and they don't know about God, and they're in the flesh sleeping, and they need to be woken up. And that's what the gospel is all about, to wake people up, to tell them to get up, shake the dust off your feet. You know, I think about it when Jesus told them, whenever Lazarus rose out of the grave, he said, loose him and let him go from the grave clothes. God takes care of the grave, of raising us out of the grave. But I want to tell you, brethren, is God has given us a duty as the family of God to begin to labor among the people of God, to help them to loose and to get out of the grave clothes and put off the flesh. Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, is putting off this flesh. I did the other week when I spoke. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I really didn't finish my thought, God done that. If you love God tonight, it's unmistakable evidence you're God's child. If you feel conviction for sin, you know, we love God. Why? Because He first loved us. If you have the inclination, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for it's foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. If individuals have no love for God, I'm going to tell you, there is nothing I can do, in the sense that they have no feelings at all. If they are dead, let me just put it that way. If somebody's dead, I can't make them alive, but my Heavenly Father can. And God not only quickened those eternally, or those of His children that were dead in trespasses and sin, everyone that was chosen in Christ before the world began, but God also quickens His children here by the gospel, not in an eternal sense, but to make us feel alive again. That's what we're here for tonight, is to quicken. Sometimes we feel dead. You're to be fed tonight. You're to have light tonight, to begin to see more clearly, to begin to be fed tonight, to gain strength, not to go out and live like you want, but to go out and serve and honor our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this passage, though, this whole passage here is really about that when our body dies, and Paul was declaring to them that we have another body. And this is something he knows. And he wasn't laboring that he was going to go to heaven, but he was laboring that whether we know that when we depart out of this life, when you die, and this is what he says in verse 6, what I'm after, and then I want to look at it in a little different light. He said, therefore, we are always confident. That is, I have full, complete assurance in this. We are always confident, knowing that whence we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He was saying, or he's saying here, is that when we, as long as we live in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. Do you follow what he's saying? Is I'm not walking with God, literally. I'm not. I'm in this body. That's why I'm serving God by faith. That's why whatever you do, if it is not by faith, the Bible says it's sin. So I need to be living and walking by faith. All that I do, all that I say. Now, I'm not doing that, but that needs to be my ultimate goal in life, is to be a man of faith. You need to be a man or a woman of faith. And so now, that's something that I know, that while I'm in this body, I'm separated from God in the flesh. Your flesh is not in fellowship with God. Your flesh was in fellowship with the food, and so was mine. I enjoyed it today. I'm in fellowship with you in ways. But I want to tell you, if it wasn't for God in me, I wouldn't even have a lot of fellowship for you. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's other places I could be if it wasn't God in me and God in you. That's what binds us together, the love we feel and all that. You know, because it is foolishness unto me. People getting together and reading out of a book that's old as this is, and to think that it's going to do anything for your life. Well, I want to tell you tonight that I not only think that it'll do something for my life, I know because it has done something for my life, just as the Spirit of God in my soul and in my life has worked a great miracle. He has in your life. So I know what God can do. And eternally, I've been redeemed. Not only am I going there in my spirit, but I want to tell you tonight, bless God, I'm going there in my body. My body, and that's what this whole context is about, that why we are at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord, but when we're absent from this body, we're going to be present with the Lord, praise God, that whenever we die, there's going to be a day, even at the moment of death, you're in the presence of God, and then there's going to be a day that he's going to sound forth, and I'm going to tell you, my body's not going to stay. There are some of those that believe that there is no bodily resurrection, but that is totally foreign to the Word of God. Jesus wasn't just floating around. Yes, his body was chained, but my Lord had a literal body, and you know what he said? He said, put your hand in the holes in my side, feel the nail prints that was in my hand. I want to tell you tonight that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's in his body and he bore our stripes. Whenever that came to me 15, 20 years ago or wherever, there's only going to be one person in heaven that's going to have any mars, any stripes on his body, and that's going to be our Lord and our Savior, because all of our stripes are healed. And in heaven, he's going to be the only one that bears, that's going to remind us throughout eternity. I don't believe it's going to cause us to weep in the sense of mourning because of our sin, but I believe that we're going to praise him forever because of what he has done for us throughout eternity. But now, I can't even fathom that. You know what I'm saying? But here in this passage, he says in 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whence we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. What I want to bring to you tonight, and this is a principle that is just as true, that once you're at home in the body, you're absent from the Lord. And what I want to take and spiritualize and trust doing no harm is that right now, while you are at home in your body, while you're at home in your natural mind, you know, there was a song when I was a child that said that wherever Papa laid his hat, he was like a rolling stone. And wherever he laid his hat was his home. A lot of times people just flop around, just kind of throwing their hat over there. Their dwelling place, a home is a place, should be a place of love and should be, but it's a place where you abide. It's a place where your attentions, your affections, where you go to eat and possess or partake, that is, and fellowship. Well, a lot of times people are fellowshipping in all their own places. Can you make your home other than here? I want to tell you, originally I had a home. My mama was here this morning, and I lived with my mama. Then I moved out about 100 feet, and she kept on taking care of me. But that was my home. And that's where my abode was. But I'm going to tell you tonight that even though eternally I've been redeemed, I'm going to tell you, brother, is that you and I have a choice to make. And once you're at home in the body, when you're at home in this natural mind, when you're at home in the flesh, then you're separated from God. That's a principle that's true literally. That whenever you're in this flesh, literally, you're out of fellowship, or you're not in the presence of God. You can be in the spirit. But it's true as well when you're at home in the body, you might say spiritually, in this natural man, because the natural man is contrary to God. And I want to tell you, brethren, is that every one of us in our daily lives, tonight, tomorrow, you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be at home in this body. We're going to begin to think like a natural. There's another song out that when I was a child, a lot of time we have music piped in where I work at, and a lot of time one of the guys sing it. He says, "I am a natural woman." And he begins to sing, you know, just following along with that. And I get to thinking about that sometime. You know, you hear it, they're over there, you know, picking on it and singing away with it. And it was some famous singer that sang it years back, but said, "I'm a natural woman." Well, I just want to ask, what is a natural woman? You ever thought about it? I hear sometime, and back then I heard people sing about it. Natural woman, a natural man. I'm going to tell you, in the Word of God, a natural man is not a good thing. A natural woman is not a good thing in the sense of the word that you're at home in that natural body. That's why God tells us in the Philippian letter that Paul, as he was penned, inspired by God, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." That is, there's something you have to allow. You know, you can't make God do anything. You don't allow God to do anything. But brother, there's things in your own life that you are to allow, you are to make. Let this mind be in you. It's something you've got to do. It's something I have to do. And if I'm at home in this natural body, you know what I'm going to be thinking like? I'm going to be thinking like a natural man. Now, I could sing that song, "I'm a natural man." Is that what we need to get together and sing on Sunday? I want to tell you, sometimes that's about how we act. If we get together and we could sing, "I'm a natural man. I'm a just a carnal man." But brethren, we need to begin to think above that, beyond that. And whence we are at home in the body, you're absent from the Lord. And the lie is this. We think that we can come and we can throw our hat here for a little while, and we can be at home with the Lord here on Sunday, and then we can go home and we throw our hat in a natural ring and we begin to think like a natural man, put on the natural man. I know we got to live here. And yes, husbands and wives and at your job, there's things. But what I'm saying is everything we do, it should be motivated by God. That I should be the husband God's called me to be. I'm not, but I'm striving to be the husband that God has called me to be, and not think like a natural man. You know what a natural man's thought is? It's all about me. You know what a natural woman's thought is? It's all about me. You think about me. What can you do for me? What can you do for me? I want me. It's all about me. You know what a natural thought is, or a natural man in the church is? A carnal man, you might say. It's all about me. So whence we are home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. You know, you can be at home in the church body so much that you have no love for God. I pastored a church years back, about 20 years ago now, and there was an older couple there, and the woman, I detected there was times you could see some love for the Lord, but mostly I saw no love for God there. But her granddaddy, her uncle, her daddy, they were all founders of the church back yonder, and they were all big in the church. Some of her kinfolks way back yonder were founders of the church. And so she loved the church. You follow what I'm saying? You can love the church and yet have no love at all for God. And that's how a natural individual thing. And I just want that to stick in your mind, that once you're at home in the body, you are absent from the Lord. Now, all of you know, and there's a lot of passages I was going to go to, but I don't feel led to tonight, so I think I just go with one you know quite well. We've used it before, and Brother Billy has a lot at homecoming and other time, but the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Now, you know, you can be the son, and I love preaching it, the other brother. You know, You can be the one that goes off and wastes all that God gave you. Or you can be the other brother. You can stay home and live just as carnal and as miserable as that other man. Now, I admit that he wasn't drinking. I admit he wasn't laying with women that were living ungodly. I admit that he wasn't doing a lot of the other things. But I want to tell you, in the sight of God, I believe that individual was just as carnal in many, many ways. He was consumed of himself. It was about me. And that's what I find the biggest problem we have. It's all about me. Why do you think there's so much church problem? Why do you think at times in life, why there's so many family problems? Because it's about me. People living in this flesh. And you see, God has called me, and I'm coming right back to Luke, but I will read, before I go to Luke, I'm going to read one passage. Oh, and we could talk about, what about in Hebrews chapter 11 even? Where he talks about that we're pilgrims. You see, we're not to be at home here. We're pilgrims. You know where we're to throw our hat at? It's to be thrown into the kingdom, so to speak. That should be our home. We're pilgrims. Now, you might join the church here and you might begin to serve the Lord, but unless you're abiding in Christ, except you abide in me, I want to tell you, I can't do nothing. I'm not honoring God unless I'm abiding in him. And too often, you know what we're abiding in? We're abiding in the flesh. We're abiding in ourselves. Now, in the Colossian letter chapter 3, and I'm going right to Luke, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth." Now, we read that all the time, don't we? I mean, I've heard lessons over the years all the time. Brother Billy's preached this and preached other passages all the time. I've heard this. I've read it. I've preached it. And yet, so often, we're not doing it a lot of times in our lives. I would say quite often or most of the time. And it's what we need to be doing more. We're abiding in the flesh. Another way I could preach the same message would be, you know, in Ecclesiastes, he talks about that everything laboring under the sun, if you labor under the sun, it's all vanity. It's all vain. And I'm going to tell you, if all your works is getting up and you're working all day long at your job, if that's all it is that you're just working, going out to make money so you can buy and get, you know, all of that is vanity. Now, are we to be workers? Yes, we are. And we're to work where we can supply our needs. We're to work where we can supply the needs of those that need help. We're to work. But what I'm saying is, if that's all we're thinking about, all that's vanity. But if you're laboring under the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, as stated in one place, all of that, that's how you're going to find happiness and peace if you're living and making your abode or your home, not in the body, but you're making your abode, you might could say, in the body of Christ. That would be where you choose your home, where you choose to make your abode at. It's where, whether you're going to be blessed or cursed of God. Now, in this passage in Colossians, he goes on to say, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And he talks about crucifying or mortifying the old man. Let me go ahead and go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. You know, it's hard to kill the flesh, isn't it? And I think almost probably half the time I touch on things like this. But brethren, partly because I know all about it. I understand the natural man to some degree. And I know it's true in your lives. I wish it wasn't. But we all have it. Man, the natural man is so deceptive. So, you know, it can deceive you, beguile you. It'll get a hold of you before you know it. And you think, again, you turn inward. You get to thinking about yourself. You put yourself above your wife. You put yourself above your husband. You put yourself above another brother or another sister. You think about me. And in this passage, this is what really the two brothers did. And the other one that stayed home was really worse off than the other one. You know, the only good thing, and you don't have to do that. I know people that have lived wonderful lives that never went out in the world and they understand their need for Christ. And that's what you need. Because some people die out there and never come back to God. But I want to tell you, brethren, is the only good thing about having, You know, that there's a past to remind you, and you've got a lot of scars there. But the only good thing about that is you know you're a wretched sinner. And we need to understand that, but not live in that. We need to go on from that. Put all that behind and only allow the remembrance to remind you where you are or were, and to remind you that you don't need to stay there. You don't need to go back there, but you got to set your affections on things that are above, and you got to have a different mind. You got to live in a different body. You got to live in the body of Christ and the body of holiness and righteousness, because this is something that we're confident in, that when you're at home in the body, when your abode is in your natural body, your natural flesh, your natural thinking, you will be absent from God. Don't matter what you want to lie to yourself. You can get up in the morning and you can look in the mirror and say, I am spiritual. But if you're abiding in this body, you're just as dead, so to speak, lifeless spiritually. Until, you might have life and you're born again, but what I'm saying, you're not walking or living in the things or ways of God. Luke chapter 15, and I try to hasten on here. In fact, I'm not going to read all of it. I just stated, the man had two sons. And the younger of them said in verse 12 of chapter 15 to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth me. And he divided unto them his living. Both sons, and this younger one said, give me what's mine. Give me what's due me, you might say. What befalls me. Give me my inheritance. And in 13 it said, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You see, he was abiding in this carnal flesh. He went out there and lived it. Oh yeah, he lived it up all right, didn't he? And where did he wind up? Did he wind up in a good home somewhere? Did he wind up with a lot of money? Did he wind up with a happy family? Not at all. What happened? He wound up eating hog feed, or eating not even the feed, but just gnawing as it was on slop and on corn cobs in the hog pen, because he was making his home in the flesh. He was making his abode. He was living in the flesh. And that's why God calls us to live out of the flesh, to live a life better than that, to rise, to seek the heavenly things of God. Why? Because God just wants us to live his way. No, because it is for your good as well. Because God is holy and righteous and loving. He's established the family, as Brother Billy preached so well today. And so as we begin to live in his body, live in the body of Christ, and begin Christ to live out his life through us, I want to tell you today, my friends, that's when we will be able to experience life to the utmost in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. Now, here was a man eating hog slop. The other man we found, and I'm going to read on here, and I try to hasten on here. He says in 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. I'm going to tell you this. I've seen it. Now I've been serving the Lord for close to 31 years, 30 and a half years, something to that effect, 31 years perhaps. And one thing I've seen, that is when people go away from God, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but you can write it down in a book, they're not going to be happy. You follow what I'm saying? You're not going to go off and just live a rosy life. It's just not going to be that way. I've seen it over and over. I've seen people just as miserable. And so as we think of, you know, a lot of times people, the devil will paint you up a picture and say, oh, you don't have to be under the restrictions of the church. You don't have to, you know, and I believe God will judge people accordingly, according to what they understand and all of that. Some aren't judged as severely as others, but you're going to be judged. You're not going to have happiness. It's not going to be happy ever after. In this life, thank God to know that you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Nothing can separate you from that. But right here, right now, the only way that you're going to be in the presence of God is be at home in the body of Christ. But if you're not at home, if you're at home in this body, this flesh, this carnal mind, this carnal thinking, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to be absent from God. And to be absent from the God is nothing more than a hell within itself. Could you imagine? Now, I want to tell you, I've lived a little bit without the knowledge of God. Thankful that even then he gave me glimmers of hope. But can you imagine living through what you have lived through in life thus far in your life, facing death, many of you, facing problem after problem, could you imagine living without the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Could you imagine living and facing all these problems? You know, one thing that always stays in my mind and keeps in my mind, there's always a rainbow. There's always something better. It can always get better. Now, I realize that it can get worse, and if you turn your back on God, it will. But to know that ultimately heaven's my home, and I still have that knowledge of that, and it's better, it's wonderful to know that, to believe that, to understand that. And in this passage, we find that it says in 15, and he went and joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I want to tell you, brethren, is that you'll be out there in the world and nobody will give to you. You won't have a friend in the world. But whenever you look to God, whenever you... And that's what's amazing. That's what we're leaving when we leave the house of God, the home of God. Not just this building, this isn't even the house. It's a sacred place in the sense it's been set apart by God. But the home is the body of Christ here. And as we think about it, when we leave this place, that's what you're leaving. You're leaving a place of nourishment. You're leaving a place of safety. You're leaving a place of love, an abode of love and peace and tranquility. And you're going out into the world that you're going to have adversity and problem without anybody to help you. You know, I would hate to be a part of this life without having friends and a body of Christ and without having God to help me and without having brothers and sisters in Christ to help me in life. He comes on and it said in 17, I'm just going to begin there. It said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And by the way, he came to himself. You see, God worked in him, in his mind, in his heart. And he said, the hired servants have plenty to eat and enough. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Just let me be a hired servant. Let me be a doorkeeper. Just let me open the door, is what, David said, basically. And he said here, in 20, and he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, that's a beautiful picture. And it's also how God's people should always respond when somebody comes back and repented. You know, a lot of times people say, yeah, but I know what they did. I know how they acted. They offended me. They did. I thank God. I've seen that here over and over. I've seen people go astray several times and come back. And people receive them back in the body. You see, because you're receiving them back into the way of God. That's where they need to be. That's where, they could be in fellowship with us. And if they're out of fellowship with God, they have no peace. They're absent from the presence of God, even though they might be here. That's why they need to be encouraged to walk in the way of God. Walk not in the flesh, but arise above the flesh and seek those things that are above. Here now, the other brother, it said in 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field and came and drew nigh to the house. And he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto them, thy brother has come and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He was mad. You know what he was doing? He was making his home in the body. He was abiding in the body. He was abiding in the mindset. What if your brother went astray? What if, you know what I'm talking about, and your brother come back, and all of a sudden everybody's happy. You know, the man that lived garbage lifestyle, a man that was away from God, now everybody's throwing a great big party for him. I've been working every day, sun up to sunrise. That's what this man was thinking. I've been doing all of that, but my father now throwing a party for his son that wasted everything he labored for. And yet we find that this other brother, you know, the father told him, and I'm going to be closing here. He said, and he said in 28, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came the father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Isn't that amazing how somebody can be, you know what he's acting like? Just like a child. A small child. You never gave me anything. You never threw me a party. And listen to what he said. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. You see, you can be like the other brother and be away from the Father, not experiencing the things of God, abiding in the flesh, full of hatred, full of animosity. Now, I could go on and on, but I hope that in some way it's been a blessing to you. And I hope that as you think, while you're living in this body, I'm separate from God. Literally, I'm not walking with God. But while I'm making my home in this natural way of thinking, don't lie to yourself thinking you're in the presence of God. Whenever you're living the life, whenever you're following, when I'm following the things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pleasures of this life, when I'm following those things, I'm not in the presence. You know, have you ever thought that you were and you wasn't? You know, Samson didn't even know that God had departed from him. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to do because you're living a pretty good life. You're doing pretty good. You're all right. But if you're living like the world, then you're not in the... God help you. This homecoming, in every Sunday, every day is an opportunity that we go closer to God, that we make our home with the Lord here in his kingdom today. I hope that you and I will abide in him instead of abiding in our own thinking, our own ways, is my prayer. Brother Billy.